You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
So, good morning everyone and welcome. My name's Rick. If you're visiting, you're very welcome here to Jubilee Church. Just an announcement that would be good for everyone to know. Next week, we're having a family service, so the kids will be in. There's a sort of national event, I think, that's happening next weekend. So you'll see a bit of a link to that, not too much, but a little bit of a link. You can see my Australian republicanism coming through, but don't worry, don't be too frightened by that. We've got someone else with me who's going to do a brilliant job in leading us. So it'd be good just to prepare your kids to know that they're going to be coming in, and the hall's going to look a bit different, and the service is going to be a bit different, a bit shorter, but it'd be good to prepare everyone for that. That's going to be really a lot of fun. So just a reminder of next Sunday. But we've been preaching through a series on the parables of Jesus, and particularly if you're visiting, that's where we are, and actually where we find ourselves this morning is that we are completing that series, and we are going to be finishing with the parable of the talents. And so that's in the Gospel of Matthew, and Matthew chapter 25. So if you have your Bible with you, then please turn to Matthew 25, and we're going to read starting from verse 14. It's also going to be on the screen, but it's always good to bring your Bible along to church. So if you've got it, open it up, or follow along on the screen. So starting in verse 14, we're going to go all the way through to verse 30. So the parable of the talents, it starts like this. For it being the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents and here I have made 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. It's almost like he's saying, you should have at least done that. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this parable has historically been understood through the lens of stewardship. And what I mean by that is the idea of a person is entrusted with something, and their job is to go and be a good steward of that thing, using it wisely and seeing it grow. And while stewardship is a major theme in this parable, I want to draw our attention to what I think is actually more of the heart of this parable. And that is the notion of faithfulness. And particularly faithfulness to the kingdom. You see, the trouble is, if you focus just on stewardship and you do so in a way that's detached from faithfulness to the kingdom, you can end up with possibly some really great sermons on the law of increase, the power of positive thinking, and the use of your abilities. And I'm not saying that those things are wrong or not even necessarily untrue. But I think if stewardship is detached from faithfulness to the kingdom, then you arrive at a destination that this parable is never traveling to. Yet when we do understand the parable through the lens of faithfulness to the kingdom, then stewardship is properly understood, and not only that, but the value of stewardship to the kingdom is properly defined by being hitched. Your stewardship of the talents being properly hitched to the context and reality of faithfulness to the kingdom. So let's dive in and see how it all fits together. Because there's lots going on in this parable, isn't it? There's nicer stuff at the start, and then there's other stuff at the end. And what are we going to make of all of that? So what is the context that this parable is speaking into? You see, parables, I heard this great phrase, and it's actually the name of a book as well, and it says, parables are stories with intent. I thought, I really like that, stories with intent. So what's the intent of this parable here? Well, it begins with a man going off on a journey. We see that, don't we? We see the master, he then goes off on a journey. And then a few verses later in verse 19, it talks about the man returning from his journey after a long time. So we have the master going on a journey, we have the servants that are gathered together and then entrusted with the master's wealth and resources, and then he goes off for a long time, and then he returns. And if I look at the parable and then I look at the context that we're living in right now at this very moment, to me, it sounds like we're living in what Matthew describes as the long time between Jesus going and coming back. Jesus has ascended, and we now live in an indeterminate period of time, and we await the Master's return. So the parable is speaking to us. We are the Master's servants, and it's speaking to the time when he is away. And the context and main theme of the parable is faithful living while we wait for Jesus' return. But what does our master expect of us as servants? And a key verse, I think, is verse 15, where it says, to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. But what are we to make of this distribution of talents? How do we read that? Do we read it as like, well, Dave gets 5 because Dave's great. And Theo's pretty good, so we're going to give him 2. And Adrian, oh, Adrian's got 1. Do we read it sort of like that? Or maybe I'd suggest that the best way to read it is that it demonstrates that within Jesus' kingdom, each unique individual receives resources from the master that are uniquely crafted around the makeup and abilities of that person. So God, our Creator, the one who knows you better than you know yourself, who has created each one of us with a purpose and a plan, then blesses us with resources in Christ Jesus that are uniquely shaped to us. And He gives that blessing because He is our Creator and He has created us in a certain way. So what that means is that, this is the danger of always writing names in your notes and then those names aren't in the room. But, so Dave is given Dave-shaped resources. And Theo is given Theo-shaped resources. And Adrian's given Adrian-shaped resources. And perhaps this is why one is given 5 talents, another is given 2, and another 1. And rather than get distracted by the quantity, let us see this as a parabolic way of speaking to the uniqueness of each person in our family of faith. The resources Christ gives us to each follower is shaped by that person. And the parable talks about us needing to invest those talents wisely and work at them for His glory and our good. If you like, think of a father or parents who give their children different gifts on their birthday according to their interests and abilities. So one child may receive a guitar because he likes music, while another child may receive a set of art supplies because she likes painting. In the same way, God has given each of us unique resources to serve Him and bless others. But what does the parable tell us about how to live faithfully with the resources that we have been given? Because it's really interesting. There's no explicit instructions given on what to do. All of the servants seemingly knew that they had, alongside receiving the resource, came the responsibility to do something with it. The first 2 servants went out, traded the resources they were given, and they doubled their money. And it's quite, in understanding this parable, it's good to know, because we in our modern ears, and probably from about the 15th century, talents as we read them here ring a certain way in our ears. So it means often our gifts and abilities. In ancient world, what we're talking about and what Jesus' hearers would have talked about is a monetary weight of either gold or silver or some other precious metal. So that they received these resources, they received their talents, and they understood what they had received. They understood they received the wealth of the master, and they knew that they'd be entrusted with it to harness it, to work it, and for it to be utilized for the kingdom to grow. They understood the value of what they had received. And this morning, my question is, do you see the value of what you've received? God is calling you into a life of faithfulness in stewarding His resources that He has equipped you with. And perhaps we do most commonly think that His resources are our giftings and our abilities. And His invitation to you this morning is to faithfully put these resources to work, to see His kingdom grow and to see God glorified and to see you grow and mature into Christ-likeness. And when the master returned to settle his accounts with the servants, we see that the master is delighted in the first 2 servants who have faithfully stewarded the resources that they were entrusted with. Verse 21 says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, so I'll put you in charge over much. Enter into the joy of your master." The exact same words are used for the second servant who had 2 talents and then doubled them up. And the parable doesn't speak more highly of the first servant who got 5 from 5 compared to the second servant who got 2 from 2. The parable doesn't do that. The exact same words, the exact same reward is offered to both. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. You've been faithful with little. I will give you charge over much. They were resolutely rewarded by the master for their faithfulness. And don't we all want to be resolutely rewarded by our master? Do you want to hear ringing in your ears, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy. My encouragement today is for us to reflect on what it is that the Lord has entrusted to you. Intentionally seek out the resources that He has equipped you with. Consider your interests and your passions and your experiences. Maybe even write down a list of your talents and think about how you can use them for His glory and your good. And then you can go a step further and invest in your talents. The parable speaks about that, doesn't it? Investing the talents you've been given. Look for ways to grow and develop your talents and be willing to take risks and step out of your comfort zones. Where has God placed you in terms of your location, your job, your family, your relationships, your passions, your interests? All these things are resources that He has entrusted to you and to me. And so let us use them wisely for His glory and our good. But it also takes faith. Because the servants took what they were entrusted with. They traded with it to generate, if you like, a profitable return for the kingdom. And they were wise and faithful students. And that stewards. And that undoubtedly helped them in securing the reward. But like any trade, there's also a risk of loss. These faithful stewards demonstrate to us the path of faith rather than being immobilized by fear. Fear of loss. Fear of making a mistake. Fear of failure. Fear of getting it wrong. Fear of looking silly. Or any other fear that might be swirling around our heads and our hearts this morning. Because when we concentrate on fear rather than faith, then what happens is that we can just stop from acting faithfully, and we can stop following Christ with all of our hearts and minds and body and soul. And that brings us then to the third servant. And what stands out for you with this third servant? I've been thinking and reflecting on him all week. What was it about this servant that was different to the other two? The first two servants traded their talents, invested them wisely, and entered into their master's joy. They knew what to do, they went and did it, and they were rewarded. But what about number three? What's different about him? And let's remind ourselves what he said to the master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. So remember the context of the parable. The master has gone away and then is returning, and we are the servants. And so the master is Jesus. And yet this man, it's almost like the parable flips things and now Jesus is on trial. You're a hard man and I don't trust you. And the thing that jumped off the page and I've just been chewing on all week is that the servant's perception of the master is fundamental in determining his actions. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. This third servant's perception of the master was of a hard man, untrustworthy person. And so the parable jumps out at us with a question. What's your perception of the Master? Do you know the loving embrace of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you know him as a hard man and perhaps an untrustworthy man? Has life's hardship shaken your understanding and foundation of God as good, true, and loving? How do you perceive Jesus Christ? How do you perceive God the Father? And the more I reflected on this aspect of our understanding of Jesus, of our perception of God and our experience, it just came so clear to me that it's then fundamental. You put all those together, it's fundamental in determining how that third servant acted. Because the servant knew the Master as a hard man, he was afraid. And he went and hid the talent in the ground. And when the Master returned from his long journey, the servant thought it was an acceptable outcome to dig up that one talent again and go to the Master and say, here's your talent. This is what you gave me. Look, there's no loss. There's no decrease. Have back what's yours. And sometimes I've read this parable and I thought, that sort of sounds all right. There's no loss. The Master isn't out of pocket. Well, maybe, but it's safe. And in ancient time, not in this case, because there was a clear instruction, implicit instruction, because of what we see the other two servants doing. But in other times in ancient time, if there was going to be a marauding army coming in, you absolutely, if you remember the parable of the lost treasure, you dug in and you hid that treasure for no one to find, for safekeeping. But this wasn't for safekeeping, this was for investing. But he said, because you're hard, because you do these untrustworthy things, I'm going to put it in the ground. And look, here it is. Do you see how our perception and our understanding and our experience of God can cause us to see him and come to know him in a way that's not true to who he is? It can cause us to become afraid of him, and it can cause us to bury our talents in the ground because it's safe. And I wonder if there's anyone this morning who has been battered, if you like, battered by life's journey, and as a result you now see God as hard and untrustworthy, a man who's unfair and takes what he doesn't deserve. And you've ended up unsure, and therefore to be safe you've buried your talent in the ground. And I ask this with deep compassion, knowing how life's unexpected. And unfair hardships can alter how we see and know God. And I ask this with understanding and compassion and a longing in my heart for each one of us to know God again as the Good Shepherd, the loving Father, the gracious King who gave all, sacrificed all, and promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And I bring this also to us this morning in the prophetic warning the parable ends with. You see, we're not told why the first servants did what they did, and we're also not told why the third servant has come to know the Master in the way he does. Parables say some things and they don't say other things. And we need to ensure that we don't overinterpret what's not said. The parable simply declares that the third servant knows the Master to be a hard man, and therefore he is afraid of him and buries his talents. We do not know why. But what we also can't close our eyes to, it's the very strong reaction from the Master when the third servant hands back the single talent. It's a very strong reaction. In a sense, it can make us recoil, and it begs the question, what do we do with this? if I'm a servant and this is Jesus, what do I do with this? It's pretty uncomfortable, right? And we see within our parable a very strong prophetic warning, and it's a warning for all followers of Jesus, and it speaks to responsibility and judgment. It speaks of outer darkness casting out and gnashing of teeth. I probably quite foolishly tried to see if I could get an image of gnashing of teeth. Wasn't good. Wasn't good. Whichever way you looked at it, it wasn't good. Yet we need to also keep in mind that this harsh language also occurs on a parabolic level. And it's a warning of judgment, not a definitive statement of that judgment. It's designed, this harsh language is designed to shock us and force thought on how we are to live faithfully in the kingdom. Parables are prophetic instruments, and we need to be careful, cautious, not to read them too directly into our reality. And with all of that said, and without overreading the parable and its particularities, I would encourage all of us this morning to see its design and intent. This strong language, this uncomfortable prophetic warning is given to awaken the sleeper, shake the comfortable, and remind us all that when we receive Jesus as Lord, when we enter the kingdom of heaven, we receive both resource and responsibility. We receive blessing and expectation. We have salvation and sanctification. We will all be held accountable for how we use what God has given us. There's just too much scriptural witness on this, on living faithfully, on working out our salvation, on how that the way that we live and what we do in life, how this matters. And it's not enough to simply bury our talents or to use them for ourselves. That's not the purpose they have been given. We must use them to bring glory to God and to serve others. The life we live in the time when the Master is away on his long journey is of utmost importance. We are called to live faithfully, wisely investing the talents Jesus has entrusted to us with the hope and expectation that we will see the kingdom grow, that God will be given the glory, and in our own lives there will be fruitfulness. We are called to live faithfully, loving God with all we have and with all we are, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so as we come to communion now, let's take a moment and reflect on God's word to us this morning through the parable. Perhaps you need to reflect on what resource Jesus has given you. Each of us has been given something. Whether it be talents, resource, time, opportunities, relationships, families, locations, homes, networks. We are stewards of what God has given us, and we are responsible for using them wisely and for His purposes. The Master gave each servant a different number of talents according to their abilities. And in the same way, God has given each of us unique gifts and talents that we can use to serve Him and bless others. And it's not about how much we've been given, but what we do with what we have been given. Or maybe the Lord spoke to you when I was talking about how the third servant perceived the Master and how that had a fundamental impact on his behavior and what he did. How are you currently perceiving the Master? Are you carrying hurt, disappointment, or a sense of being let down by God? Life's experience so easily does this to us. And I just want to create space this morning to allow all of us who want to bring all that's in our hearts to Him in honesty and rawness. God is big enough to deal with our honest emotions. The book of Psalms is writ large in it. People would, I mean, if you took some of those psalms and someone in your home group started praying, you'd be like, well, we need a little intervention here. How long, O Lord? How long? Where are you, Lord? You've abandoned me and my bed is wet with tears. But they're in there to show us that we bring all of this to God. And I want for anyone that needs to and would like to space this morning. And finally, has God used the parable to shock you and grab your attention, perhaps to wake some of us up from a sense of slumber? You see, God wants us alert and awake and alive to Him and the kingdom we now inhabit. And so as we come to communion, if you're in any of those categories, you want to find out more, Lord, what is my talent? What are the resources you've equipped me with in my situation, in my context, and how can I use them and invest them wisely for your glory? Or maybe you're in the dark night of the soul and you need to just come and unburden your heart. Or maybe that shock in the parable has spoken to you. Or maybe it's something else I haven't even mentioned. But if the band could come up, Tom. And as we worship then and come to the communion table, I want that space for people to be able to bring where they are. They're honest. State of where they are right now. Any of those things, we'd love to pray with you. So, if you're able, let's stand. I'm going to pray and then we'll go into worship. Lord God, thank you for these stories with intent, Lord. You spoke seemingly simple stories, but with such intent. And this morning, as we've looked at this unusual story of the parable of the talents, Lord, it confuses us in some ways, Lord. And we work out, where do I sit in this story? Or where do you stand in this story? And what am I meant to do now? Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to minister to our hearts, Lord. I pray for faith to be poured into people's hearts, that we can live faithfully while the Master is away on his journey. Lord, even now, even right now, reveal to people all that you have equipped them with, Lord, and the ways that you've equipped them so that they can use the resources you have given for your glory and their good. Put a faith into our hearts, Lord, to see the value of what we've received when we've heard the kingdom and received the King. We've received His resources. Let us treasure them, Lord, and give us faith to use them to see your kingdom enlarge and for our good. And anyway, your Spirit is ministering to people's hearts. You know their context, Lord. I don't know all of them. I pray, work mightily in people's lives today. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. And as we worship and as we come to your table again, we're invited again and again and again to receive your broken body and your spilled blood that cleanses us and establishes us in you and you in us. Remind us of all your calling on our lives while we eagerly await your return. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to worship. When you're ready, come and take communion. If you need prayer, want prayer, we'd love to pray with you. Just maybe hang around at the front, or I'll be over here. Some of the other elders and leaders will be available to pray as well. let's be open to all that God's speaking to us.